talk about employment and homeownership. I don't want to go all the way back to the beginning, but it has to start off with my experience in college. And I had several different experiences in college. The first one, and I guess longest, was in the University of Alaska system, where I did not receive a bad education per se, but I would probably say I got a lot of free passes on things that probably shouldn't have been passed upon. And I would probably credit that to my low vision. I don't know this for sure, but call me a crazy conspiracy theorist. I really think that there are some schools that have a certain amount of quota of, like, you know, disabled students that they're trying to get through. And, you know, there was times where I turned in subpar work, and it almost seemed like my math teachers were willing to call me in on it, you know, because I rarely went to class and never did my homework. So I was like, probably shouldn't have passed. And I didn't several times, but hey. So, you know, UA, the University of Alaska system, was, I never had any like discrimination issues or anything like that, but I definitely did not feel pushed. And I know a lot of that, you know, comes from your own personal drive, which I found my personal drive through the field of occupational therapy. That is currently what I practice in. I'm an occupational therapy assistant. I would say certified, but I feel like that sounds kind of gauche. So occupational therapy assistant is what I'll go as. I never would have thought that my limits would have been tested at a community college in a program that held, I think, 20 of us at one time. But my professors called me out on areas that I was less than acceptable in. Some had to do with my vision. Some had to do with just my personal drive. I was definitely trying to use my sight more than I should have, and that was setting me back quite a bit. So it actually took me 3 years to earn the 2-year associates, just because I ended up failing a course due to not having the appropriate visual, you know, non-visual / low visual strategies I needed. And basically that program is cyclical. So if you fail a course, you have to wait that entire year to come back and retake it. So after I failed that course, you know, my professors told me that I could come back and retake, you know, get a second attempt at it. And the next year it was offered. So I said, okay, I guess I'll see you then. I came back to Alaska from Washington State, and I came into the Alaska Department of Voc Rehab, and I said, Swellen, I done goofed. Please don't kick me out of DVR, because they've got a very strict no failure policy too. Swellen said, well, I'm pretty sure this had a lot to do with your vision, so I'm going to send you to the Alaska Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired, and we're going to work on some of these things for you. And it's there that I came into contact with amazing instructors, which we have at least two of in this room right now. I know we have Bonnie, we have Kevin. At that time, I was also learning from the late Al Waldron and Nate Kyle. And so it's through them, of course, I found the Federation, which occupational therapy in itself is not a field represented as much by the blind and low vision community. I know that we have another OT practitioner in this room. I don't necessarily want to call her out if she doesn't want to be called out, but, you know, it's an amazing field that I did fall in love with. So long story short, I gained the soft and hard skills I needed to get from the center teachings and from networking at national convention with a few other healthcare practitioners. I ended up going back to school, passing the courses I needed to pass, made it through my field work, and sat for my exam, which, again, blessed as I am, I did not face really any hardships at those testing sites. I'm not sure how it happened, but it was, you know, my experience was pretty well. They gave me the JAWS program that I was actually used to using. At that time, it was JAWS 2019. I got the extra time qualifications or accommodations, I guess, and I got my license. I said, all right, I'm going to treat myself. Went down to New York, got my dog here, Lynx. When I was down there, I got a job interview, a request for a job interview over the phone. And this was after putting my name out there for a couple months. I had about maybe 3 or 4 interviews before that happened. Nothing really came of it. From my experience, it's not necessarily fair, but here's the truth I discovered. If you can't convince somebody that you're not a fragile egg or a liability within the first 5 minutes of the interview, you're probably not going to get hired. The first 5 minutes is the time where you have to market yourself as a professional. You can't gloss over your disability because it's usually pretty blatantly obvious if you walk in with a white cane. Yeah, I had a cane at the time. And so again, for me, I didn't necessarily feel like pushing the envelope of, well, are you not hiring me because I'm blind, blah, blah, blah. Because you know what? I could tell too that I didn't want to work there either. I wanted a place where I had a great team to work alongside and that kind of thing. And I found that at Maple Springs, which is a skilled nursing facility in Wasilla and Palmer. So I've currently been working there for going on somewhere between 3 and 4 years. I started off under a different company, then we kind of got sold. So my whole time loop is kind of off. But about I've been definitely practicing OT for over 3 years now. This career has blessed me with enjoyment and the resources to buy a house because I forgot what it was like to be a broke college student. And I decided, hey, I guess I'll give my money to the bank again. Why not? I don't regret it. I was able to get a great loan. I learned something from that process. The loan companies, it's illegal for them to give you a better or worse deal than anyone else because of your sight. Because I asked that. I was like, hey, is there any lower rates I can get for being blind? And the guy's like, no, it's actually federally illegal for me to do that. And I said, oh, good to know. Rats. Hope to play that card. But, you know, I got a great loan. You know, it's a perfect first home for me. It's just a, you know, 3-bedroom ranch. You know, it's definitely, I need to be better about cleaning. You know, so I don't like cleaning, but I need to be better about it. Yeah. No. I mean, he just goes wherever he wants. Yeah, he does. You know, I guess I live there too, but I broke my rule, no couch, because I got really sad and lonely one night. And I was like, okay, you can come on the couch. And now I've walked out there and he's just sleeping on the couch. And I was like, okay. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's been a great journey. You know, I can say that if it wasn't for the people I met at the center, if it wasn't for my family, if it wasn't for Sue Ellen O'Connor, who is a retired DVR counselor, there's no way I'd be where I'm at right now. And, you know, I'm blessed. And I guess some advice I can give, you know, especially our younger people who are kind of thinking about the future, is find something you are truly passionate about and aim for that goal.
Tom, this is Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
My question is, what is one of the most challenging things you have experienced as an occupational therapist that you have excelled at where you once thought was something incapable of doing?
Documentation is still a pain in the butt for the most part. I'm really glad that I think it was Gary who touched upon the Braille monitor with the topic of electronic medical record accessibility. That is non-existent right now for the most part. If you have enough money to pay for a script writer, you might be able to get a script written for it. But for the most part, my workplace accommodation is I do my notes, I submit them to my director of rehab via an email, and then she uploads them for me.
Well, I know us at the center, we have asked for you and your professional advice on how we might interact with a certain client with certain disabilities and how to keep them safe. And
yeah.
I just want to thank you for helping us with that.
Oh, no problem, man. That was a pleasure. But yeah, it's, you know, documentation is still kind of, it's the reason I get paid, but it is. And I've talked to Dan and I've talked to Linda, and both those people have had, I think, somewhat better of experience than I've had with it. The program we're using now is just not accessible whatsoever. I was using one that was very accessible, but then due to billing, we had to switch over to a different one. So that was great.
Tom, it's Kelsey.
No, it's not. It's Tom.
I have a question. Yes. What is one horror story of owning a house that you've had, like water problems or, you know?
Not yet, actually.
Nothing?
I'm waiting for it.
Oh, okay.
Hush, honey. Hush, child. I mean, right now, I would say the hardest thing for me is I live in an alder patch, and alders like to grow up everywhere. And so I truly think the hardest thing, you know, I'm kind of cheap and stingy, so I don't really want to pay for a landscaper to go through there. But at the same time, it would take me forever with one of my machetes to just clear cut a path to my septic tank. And I need that done because I need to be able to pump my septic. So I would say that just for me, making sure that I have the resources to, you know, prioritize home maintenance. Because I really want to do a lot of things, but I have to be like, okay, what is necessary right now? And right now, that one is pretty necessary because I gotta make believe that I kind of live in a forest glade right now with all the alders I got grown up. But yeah, right. I guess I need a house party. All right, who wants the weed whacker? I don't know. I don't know if they'd want to do that or not. Yeah. But what's up?
Hold on. Why do they, like, for the guide dogs, how come they choose Labradors and Golden Retrievers for the, what was the question? Darn it, Mom, I forgot. Why is it common that they have only Labradors and Golden Retrievers for guide dogs? Is it because they're more receptive to the training?
Food motivation. No, it is. Yeah, it is. It's food motivation. It's yeah, because they have German Shepherds as well, and German Shepherds are great working dogs as well. But yeah, and poodles, but labs and retrievers are very easy to condition with treats. If they do something you want, you give them a treat for it, they're more likely to keep doing that same thing over and over again.
They're also very sociable. There are a lot of new things, and that's definitely a good question.
But also, I'm going to offer some more advice. Don't buy a house right now. I got in at the close to the end of the right time. Interest rates are high right now, and the bubble's going to burst soon, and then buy a house. Once the bubble bursts, because then prices will be low and interest rates will be low again. But yeah, you know, I got a great interest rate. And again, I'm just really thrilled about it. My mortgage company's like, you want to refinance? And I go, are you going to lower my interest rates? No, but we can give you $20,000. And I go, no, because I have all the liquid assets I need, but I don't want my house payments to go up. So no. Oh, we had one more.
It's Katie. Do you have a homeowners association that you're part of, or is it you just individually maintaining your own?
I've gotten a request for money for a homeowners association, which I haven't given them yet. So I think I do. And I think one of the perks that they offer me, at least, is the mailbox. So I'm pretty sure I need to pay them or I might lose my mailbox.